Hey, I'm Catherine Schaefer, host of Unpolished But Called. This podcast is for anyone whose faith is real, raw, and still figuring itself out. If your prayers sound more like rambling than revival, you're in the right place. There's a certain irony in talking about obedience when most of us still flinch at the word like it's a spiritual mosquito. We love the idea of grace, the concept of redemption, even the poetry of surrender. But obedience? That's where we start shifting in our seats. It feels heavy, restrictive, like being told to stay in bed when all we want to do is run outside barefoot in the rain. Yet, that's exactly what God asks of us, to trust Him enough to do what He says, even when our feelings are still limping from the wreckage of what happened to us. And that's where it gets messy. Because many of us aren't disobedient because we're rebellious. We're disobedient because we're hurt. We've been betrayed, misunderstood, abandoned, broken down, and now the thought of trusting again, even trusting God, feels like asking a burn victim to walk through fire. We don't mean to turn our trauma into a trump card, but somehow it happens. It becomes this invisible permission slip we pull out every time conviction comes knocking. We tell ourselves, God knows what I've been through, as if that exempts us from the parts of the gospel that stretch us. And yes, He does know. He was there. He wept with us, stood beside us, never left the scene. But He's not going to let what hurt us become what holds us. He's too kind for that. The trouble is, kindness from God doesn't always look like comfort. Sometimes it looks like confrontation. We don't talk much about confrontation in faith circles anymore because it doesn't market well. Come to Jesus and face every part of yourself you've been avoiding. Doesn't look good on a t-shirt. But that's the essence of sanctification. The gentle but relentless work of God turning our defense mechanism into devotion. It's slow, sacred, uncomfortable work. It's the sound of chains loosening one link at a time while we keep tugging on them out of habit. We've spent so long being defined by what happened to us that we start mistaking disobedience for self-protection. We tell ourselves, I'm just setting boundaries. When in reality, we're avoiding obedience. The wild thing about trauma is that it rewires us to survive, not to trust. It tells us control is the only way to stay safe. And control works for a while. It numbs the panic, gives us the illusion of peace. But sooner or later, control becomes a cage, and obedience is the only key that fits. The problem? Obedience requires letting go of the very thing that feels like safety. It requires trusting a God we can't see with a heart that's been betrayed by people we could. That's no small thing. That's a mountain in itself. And yet, God keeps whispering, follow me. Not feel ready, not heal first, not figure it out, just follow. Because obedience is never about perfection, it's about direction. He's not waiting for us to have it all together. He's waiting for us to take one shaky step toward Him and mean it. But our trauma tries to intercept that step. It tells us that obedience will make us vulnerable again, that surrender equals danger, that holiness will cost us everything we've built to stay safe. And here's the brutal truth. It might. But only because what we built for protection can't hold what God's building for redemption. We love to talk about being in progress, and we are, but there's a difference between healing and hiding. Healing moves. Hiding justifies. Healing says, this hurts, but I'm trusting God. Hiding says, this hurts, so I'll disobey until I feel better. One leads to freedom. The other leads to bitterness disguised as boundaries. And it's so easy to get lost there, isn't it? Especially in a world that romanticizes self-preservation as spiritual wisdom. The modern church can sometimes sound like a therapy session that forgot to end. Take your time, we say. Rest, we say. And yes, rest is sacred. But rest without repentance is just stagnation in prettier packaging. So here's something that's taken us years to admit. Obedience and healing are not opposites. They're twins. They hold hands. One rarely happens without the other. The more we obey, the more we heal. The more we heal, the more we can obey. It's circular, frustratingly so. Because we keep waiting to feel strong enough to follow God, and He keeps waiting for us to follow Him so He can make us strong. Maybe that's why obedience feels offensive to the traumatized heart. Because it demands something before we feel ready to give it. It's not cruel, it's catalytic. The moment we take that first obedient step, everything shifts. Not immediately, not magically, but spiritually. It's like tugging at the corner of a knotted rope, slowly, painfully. The tension starts to loosen. The moment we stop using our wounds as our reason and start letting them be our testimony, obedience stops feeling like punishment and starts feeling like purpose. We're not saying this lightly. We know what it's like to flinch at certain scriptures, to hear, forgive, and feel like throwing the Bible across the room. Forgiveness isn't fair. Never has been, but neither is grace. We didn't earn ours either. That's what obedience forces us to face. That grace given must become grace lived. It's easy to accept mercy when it's poured on us. It's much harder to extend it towards the people who caused the very trauma we're still healing from. And yet, that's the crucible of faith. The place where our pain meets God's promise, and we find out which one we trust more. Sometimes we think God is asking too much. You want me to forgive them? To obey now? To love again? But if He's asking for it, it's because He plans to redeem it. Every single command He gives us is wrapped in a promise. We can't always see it, but it's there, like a seed buried under ashes. And the thing about seeds is, they don't look like much when they're planted. They look dead, buried, forgotten. But underneath the soil, life is stirring. That's obedience. That's healing. That's faith. The hardest part is trusting that obedience won't lead to another wound. We've all been there, praying, trusting, doing everything right, and still ending up hurt. It makes us hesitant to try again, but God isn't calling us to relive the same story. He's calling us to rewrite it. When we obey Him, even in fear, we're saying, the pain may have started the story, but it doesn't get to finish it. And that's when the narrative begins to shift. It's funny how the smallest act of obedience can become the loudest declaration of healing. Saying sorry first, choosing not to gossip, setting down the phone and picking up the word, choosing not to respond to that text that would reopen an old door. It's not glamorous obedience. It's quiet, stubborn obedience. The kind that happens without an audience. the kind that heaven notices. We tend to think of obedience as these grand, cinematic gestures, big faith moments with swelling background music. But it's not like that. It's the ordinary, unglamorous moments that shape who we're becoming. It's trusting God when He says, "Not yet." It's loving people when they're still prickly. It's showing up to serve when we'd rather disappear. That's holiness in motion. That's trauma being rewritten, not erased. God doesn't whitewash our pain. He repurposes it. And every obedient step we take becomes a sentence in the redemption story He's telling through us. We don't get to skip obedience just because we've suffered, but we also don't get scolded for struggling with it. God doesn't shame our hesitation. He just keeps calling us closer. Every time we step forward, even trembling, He meets us there. And the longer we walk with Him, the more we realize obedience isn't about control. It's about cooperation. It's God saying, "Let me show you who you could become if you trusted me more than your trauma." Maybe that's what He's doing right now, asking us to stop treating our past as an identity and start treating it as a platform. To stop using it as a reason to stay stuck and start letting it be the reason we walk in freedom. Because when we obey in the places that once broke us, we're telling the enemy, "You don't own this part of my story anymore." That's why obedience matters. It's not about rules. It's about reclamation. It's about taking back ground we once surrendered in fear. We might never feel ready for it, but obedience doesn't require readiness. It just requires willingness. And willingness is what heaven moves on. That's the thing about God. He can work with weakness. He just can't work with no. So maybe today, instead of waiting to feel brave, we just say yes scared, yes trembling, yes unsure, because somewhere between our fear and our faith, obedience turns into freedom. And when we finally do say yes, that small trembling yes that feels like a whisper, we start to realize God never needed our confidence. He just wanted our consent. We're the ones who think we have to be healed before we obey, that we need to have it all together before we trust Him. But the gospel flips that logic inside out. We obey, and that's what starts the healing. We step forward, and that's when peace follows. It's counterintuitive, it's upside down, and it's exactly how God works. Maybe that's why the Bible is full of people who said yes before they knew the full story. Abraham packed up his whole life without a map. Peter stepped out of a boat in the middle of a storm. Mary said, "Be it unto me," without a birth plan or a clue what the next decade would hold. None of them had closure before obedience. They had calling. And somewhere along the way, we've mistaken closure for clarity. We tell God, "I'll go when I understand." But faith was never about understanding. It's about trusting the one who does. We don't need all the answers to obey. We just need enough faith to move an inch. And sometimes that inch feels like an ocean, especially when we're still limping from what broke us. But even limping forward is movement. Even crawling is progress. Heaven doesn't grade the size of our steps. It just celebrates that we're still moving. The world we live in applauds self-expression, but obedience is self-denial. That's why it feels so foreign. We've been told for years that healing is about finding ourselves. But Jesus said it's about losing ourselves in Him. That's not cruel. That's how the soul resets. Because the truth is, we're terrible at being our own gods. We try to control, fix, protect, justify, numb, and when it all collapses, we call it burnout. But really, it's just disobedience wearing exhaustion's face. And I say that with a wince, not a wagging finger, because we've all been there, running from surrender, convinced we're resting. At some point, though, the Holy Spirit gets tired of letting us pretend, and He starts poking at the places we've tried to hide. Not because He's cruel, but because He's committed to our freedom. We say we want healing, but healing and obedience walk hand in hand down the same narrow road. We can't have one without the other. If we're praying for restoration but resisting repentance, we're asking God to build on ground He can't bless yet. That's where obedience steps in. It's the act of clearing out the rubble before the rebuilding begins. It's not glamorous. It's dusty, painful, and humbling. We dig up old patterns, old habits, old excuses, and it hurts. But every time we choose obedience, we're laying new foundation stones for a life that can actually hold peace. And isn't that what we've wanted all along? Peace that doesn't depend on control? Joy that doesn't depend on circumstances? Faith that doesn't shatter under pressure? The hardest part of obedience after trauma is that it forces us to confront the idea that God might ask us to trust again in the very area we were wounded. That's terrifying. It feels like setting yourself up to be hurt again. But that's not what He's doing. He's not reopening the wound. He's reclaiming it. He's saying, this space where you were broken, this is where I'll show you I'm better than what happened to you. And honestly, we might wrestle with that for years. Healing isn't linear, and obedience isn't always clean. There are relapses into self-protection, moments of defiance that come out of fatigue, more than rebellion. There are days we'll look up at heaven and say, "Really, Lord, again?" And He'll just smile in that quiet, knowing way and say, "Yes, again, because you're worth it." We'll talk about obedience like it's a one-time decision, but it's really a daily practice. Every morning we get to decide if we're going to listen to the voice of fear or the voice of faith. Some days, fear wins. Some days, faith whispers louder. But that's the beauty of grace. We get to start over tomorrow. There's no expiration date on repentance. There's no quota on mercy. Still, obedience will always cost something. It costs comfort, pride, sometimes relationships that can't survive your growth. And we grieve those losses. We miss the familiarity of our old ways, even when they were killing us. There's something intoxicating about victimhood. It gives us identity, attention, even a strange sense of power. Letting go of that to live obediently feels like stepping off a cliff. But what if that cliff is really a bridge? What if obedience is the only thing standing between the version of us that survived and the version that's finally ready to live? We like to think God is only asking for obedience in the big things. like leaving a toxic job or forgiving someone who's unrepentant, but he also cares about the subtle things, the tone of our thoughts, the way we speak to people when we're tired, the quiet clicks and scrolls when no one's watching, the unspoken bitterness that sits behind our smiles. He's not after perfect behavior. He's after surrendered hearts. And every time we choose to obey, in those micro moments, we're saying, "You can have those too, Lord." That's what makes obedience so radical. It doesn't always look radical from the outside. No one claps for you when you decide to finally stop gossiping or to delete that contact you keep returning to out of loneliness. But heaven notices. And slowly, as obedience becomes our rhythm, peace becomes our soundtrack. It's not instant, but it's inevitable. And listen, we get it. Trauma rewires the brain, rewrites the story, and reshapes the way we see God. But that's exactly why obedience is so healing. Every time we say yes to God, we're literally retraining our souls to trust again. We're rewriting the narrative our pain tried to finish. That's what redemption looks like in motion. Not erasing the past, but redeeming it step by step. There's something profoundly beautiful about realizing that obedience isn't just about pleasing God. It's about participating in our own restoration. We're not passive recipients of grace. We're collaborators in it, and that means we have a part to play. We can't outsource obedience to our pastors, our therapists, or our accountability partners. They can cheer us on, but the yes has to come from our own mouth. And the crazy part? Once it does, we start feeling alive in ways we didn't know we'd numbed out. At first, it feels awkward. Like spiritual physical therapy. You're relearning how to move after years of walking with a limp. But then, one day, you realize you're not limping as much. You're lighter, freer, you laugh easier. That's the fruit of obedience. That's what grace looks like when it grows legs. Sometimes we wish God would just skip the obedience part and drop us straight into peace. But that's not how the kingdom works. He doesn't microwave maturity. He slow cooks it in the soil of surrender. And that's why it takes time. That's why we don't get to use our trauma as a hall pass. Because if we stay in that mindset, we'll spend our whole lives circling the same wilderness, mistaking motion for progress. But when we finally choose obedience, full-hearted, no more excuses obedience, that's when we cross over. That's when the scenery starts to change. It's still familiar terrain at first, but the air feels different. Lighter. We begin to see glimpses of who we were always meant to be, buried under all the pain. And it's humbling because we realize the person God's calling us to become isn't waiting on better circumstances. She's waiting on our surrender. We could talk theology all day, but at the end of it, obedience isn't about concepts. It's about love. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's not legalism. That's intimacy. It's the kind of love that says, "I trust you enough to follow you, even when I don't like what you're asking." And the more we do that, the more our love matures. It moves from emotional highs to holy habits. And honestly, isn't that what we want? A faith that can weather a Tuesday? A love that doesn't evaporate when life stops feeling inspiring? That's what obedience builds. Stability. Substance. The quiet, steady strength that doesn't crumble under chaos. We don't need to prove our pain to God. He already saw it. What he's asking for now is our participation in his healing. And that participation looks a lot like obedience. Not because he's trying to control us, but because he's trying to free us. Every time we obey, we're declaring, I'm not what happened to me. I'm what he's doing through me. And that changes everything. Maybe obedience isn't about erasing our story. Maybe it's about giving it new authorship. We've let trauma hold the pen for too long. It's time to hand it back to God. So as we close this episode, or maybe just pause it before we press play on the next act of surrender, let's remember this. We don't obey because we're trying to earn love. We obey because we already have it. And when that truth settles in, obedience stops feeling like loss and starts feeling like alignment. Because at the end of the day, healing is not the opposite of obedience. It's the reward of it. And if we ever forget that, maybe you remember the sound of grace whispering, yes, again. Thanks for hanging out with me today, friends. If this one made you laugh, wince, or whisper, ouch, but true, then we're probably walking the same road. Healing isn't tidy, obedience isn't glamorous, but together we're learning that grace still shows up in the middle of the mess, and that's enough to keep going. If you haven't already made sure you're following Unpolished But Called, so you don't miss what's next, and if today's episode hit home, share it with someone who might need to know they're not alone in the wrestle between hurt and holiness. You can find more devotionals, resources, and the latest updates on all of my projects over at katherineschaefer.com. And while you're there, sign up for the newsletter so you never miss a new episode, book release, or freebie drop. Until next time, remember this. We don't obey because we're perfect. We obey because we're loved. And that love is what turns the wound into the witness.